Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Burt Show.
Are we about to expose a dirty little secret about one industry? Mm-hmm. All right. If you are a professional photographer, professional, you get paid for this. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. And I want to put you on the voice disguiser. And I'm asking for total and complete honesty from you guys. Professional photographer, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. This is the DM I get the other day, okay? Hey, Bert, I've been listening to your show since high school. I can't believe I'm messaging you. You guys don't need to, like, that first line there, you guys don't need to tell me that. I don't listen to since high school. I don't need to know. It just makes me feel low.
I always kind of like that. I'm like, oh, you're a long-time listener.
Oh, my God, I've been listening to you since I was 5, and I'm 62 now. Okay. Anyway, I have a career as a nurse, but the past couple of years, I picked up photography. I now have a nice little side job that's becoming a moneymaker. But I'm still new at it. And I have to confess something to you because I think you said on your stories you're dating a professional photographer. Yeah, my Instagram stories. I have mentioned that. Maybe this is a question for all photographers. Do photographers ever pass up jobs because they know they won't be able to take good pictures of those they are shooting? She says, I'm trying to avoid saying it, but since you guys don't know me, do photographers ever pass up jobs because the people are aesthetically unpleasing, as you say? I have no other photographer friends to ask and can't find anybody online talking about it. So am I the only superficial photographer? I know I sound like a jerk, but wondering if this is just an unsaid secret in photography. 1-855-VIRGIO. So what she's asking is, maybe she'll get a lead online or whatever, and then she'll go to their Facebook page and realize that they're not pretty people. And she's like, I can't do anything with that. And then turns down the job. Do photographers do this? 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
I mean, it's so subjective, though. Like, beauty is so subjective.
Sometimes fugly is fugly.
Save that.
That's the truest thing you ever said.
Yeah, sometimes you can't hide fugly.
Listen, man.
Sometimes you can't.
Sometimes it's universal. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes you can't Photoshop fugly.
Listen, so it is subjective, but a really good photographer wouldn't turn it down because it's about the aesthetic of the photo, and they can make anyone look good. If you look at me right now on our videos on Facebook, I look like a tomato had a baby with the pigeon lady from Home Alone, okay? It is true. And
don't you talk about my friend like that.
I'll own it. Pigeon lady was a boss. But anyway, my point is, if you look at my wedding photos, I look like an ethereal bride goddess. Now, my makeup artist, shout out to Erica Bogart, had a lot to do with that. But the whole point is, photographers know how to angle you and position you. They know how to bring in the light so it looks good. And then there's a fun little tool called Photoshop where they can go in and post and fix stuff.
So what she's saying is maybe she's so new to this, like, I can't Photoshop fugly is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So we got a couple of photographers willing to go on the voice disguiser to say if she's just being superficial or this is an industry secret. Hey, Jen, good morning. You were on the voice disguiser. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're a professional photographer.
Yes, for 14 years.
Okay. Have you ever turned down a job because the people that requested you are just ugly?
No, because I'm a strong believer in that's proven the myth that people aren't photogenic. And for me, it's really important for people to feel like they have a safe space and to empower people. And I think if that's how you look at the world, I think you have to look at yourself and reflect a little bit. Maybe there's some insecurity there. But I think definitely, like, also it comes with skill, learning lighting and angles and how to direct people.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If I were you, I wouldn't have gone on the voice disguiser. I would have plugged my business.
Yeah.
That's a real good answer right there.
Well,
We have a client for you, Jen, that this other person who DM Bert turned down because apparently they weren't aesthetically pleasing enough.
Okay, here's Jessica willing to go on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Jessica, good morning. Do some photographers turn down jobs because they're like, I can't do anything with this couple?
Good morning. No, personally, I would never turn down anyone. In fact, I make it my goal to, like, make you look and feel as beautiful as possible. And sometimes that means a little bit of extra Photoshop, but anything to make the client happy. Now, I will turn them down if their budget isn't big enough, though.
If their budget isn't big enough?
She's like, I don't care about your busted face, but I do care about your busted budget.
Do you charge ugly people more?
It's more work.
No, I wouldn't charge them more, but say if you come in with a small budget and you're demanding a lot of things, then I'm going to probably turn you down way before I turn you down if you're not good looking.
Sure.
So I have a professional photographer friend who just texted me and said she doesn't turn people down for looks. She does boudoir photography. She turns them down based on personality.
Okay.
Like if they're going to be difficult to work with or very demanding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what she was just saying also. Good morning. One more photographer on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning. We will call her Sarah. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Have you ever turned down anybody because you're like, I can't do anything with that aesthetic right there?
No, I don't. It's experience and it's money. And you don't have to post them on your social media. And it's good experience to kind of get those difficult clients' pictures.
Okay.
Oh, so you use them for practice.
And you don't share your work.
There you go.
All right. I would like to reopen the Burt Show Book of Records to the woman that has the largest number of both shoes and bags. All right, it's a combo of both, right? I saw this video this weekend, which I've actually done with my ex-wife also. I walked into the closet one time after, I remember being upstairs working and hearing Stacy downstairs, just years and years ago, saying that she had nothing to wear or she had no shoes to wear for an event we were supposed to do that night. And I'm like, I was just in that closet. I know there's plenty of shoes. So I walk in there and there were so many that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take each and every pair of these out, put them in the living room for her to see. So when she walks in, she can see how many shoes she has.
So you actually did what this dude did in the video?
I did the exact same thing.
No way.
It wasn't well received.
No.
But she walks in the house in this video and he has done the exact same thing I did. And he's got a number of how many shoes she has.
Eric, what are you doing?
That's 100.
No.
That's 105 pairs of shoes, Leslie. So. Who needs 105 pairs of shoes?
I do.
105 freaking pairs of shoes. I have 4 pairs of shoes.
Now you gotta put it all up.
Do you need this many pairs of shoes?
Yes. That's
you need this many pairs of shoes?
Yes.
This is unreal. This doesn't even include the garage and the laundry.
Okay. So, clean them up.
No, you pick them up.
All right, so what I'm looking for is not only the amount of shoes, but the combination of shoes and bags. 1-855-BIRCHO. We could put you on The Voice Disguiser. Who would have the combination, the most of those two combinations?
Why is he trying to yuck her yum? Like, it makes her happy.
Mm. Yuck her yum.
Yes.
Yuck her yum.
I played a video recently of a mom talking to her daughter about not stealing somebody else's joy, not yucking their yum. She's actually selling t-shirts now, which I think is, like, great for her. And she had this long talk with her. So, shoes aren't your thing. Cool. She obviously loves shoes. Why you gotta yuck her yum and hate on her shoes?
I'm guessing they have a budget together. Right?
Well, that's one thing. If
104
she's like,
pairs of... I'm totally
five.
On this dude's
you
side.
Took
105. What do you need 100? And I am guessing in there, if you really split them up into categories, she has 8 that are the exact same shoe.
I will count mine today, and okay. I will come with a number tomorrow.
All right.
Sometimes you need a different variation. You need like a nude pump, but you need a new wedge as well. So I opened up the video because I wanted to see what the people were saying in the comments because I was curious whose side they were going to take. And I think this comment speaks volumes about the actual video, that this isn't about the shoes. There is some deeper problem that he decided to lash out by using something that's always kind of agitated him. But if there wasn't like a problem that they had been battling in their marriage, he would have never done this. He's just using this as a tactic to really get under her skin.
I'm with the lady on this one.
Yeah.
I'm the problem. So I told my grandmother I didn't know what shoes to wear to my show, and she walked into my closet and counted my shoes. No one's ever done that. It's the first time they've ever actually been counted.
Who can we guess?
Sure.
Oh, because you are a sneakerhead.
I am. Mm-hmm.
40? 40 pairs of shoes?
Higher.
60.
60 pairs of shoes?
Higher.
70.
Higher.
80.
Higher.
90.
Lower.
85.
Higher.
89.
Lower.
87.
No! 87
pairs.
My man.
Come on.
And
man.
You know why I feel like I don't have a pair to wear? Because she explained it to me. You don't have a pair you haven't worn yet. You got to have at least one pair that you haven't worn yet and you feel safe. But when you've worn every pair you have, it just feels like you have nothing.
I am shooketh.
It's a sickness, man. I don't know. It is what it is.
No, it's like you're a collector.
That's my thing.
It's your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am shooketh. Here is Marissa. Good morning. We are looking for the combination for the Burt Show Book of Records, most shoes and bags.
Okay, so that's my mom, like her name. She's the one person I know who has the most shoes and purses, always like buying new ones. She probably has like, I think, over 100 shoes and probably over 20 purses.
100 shoes, 20 bags. Okay, 120. Yeah. Thank you for calling. Good God. Mo, you got some work to do. You got some work to do. Uh-huh. Jamie's way ahead of you here. Hey, Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. I have a little bit of a different answer. My boyfriend has 135 sneakers.
Mo would like to come over and see his collection.
Seriously. I got to go to the mall. I'm doing bad down here.
Have you ever done the math on what 135 pairs of sneakers might be?
No, I'm too scared to know.
I would never do the math either.
What do you normally pay for a pair of shoes? Like 220?
It could be anywhere. I say on average, probably about, 220 is a good number.
220. For average. Right, so let's do the math on this.
You ready for this?
No, I'm not.
19,149.
It's over like a decade, though. But damn.
No wonder why you don't have a car.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
She's established a nice little side hustle at the flea market, but now her sister-in-law wants to steal her business and infringe on her territory.
Ooh.
Now, if you ever had any drama or if you would like some advice, you can always hit us up by going to theburtshow.com and shooting us an email, producer@theburtshow. Abby's got this one.
Hello, Burt Show. I'm struggling with something my sister-in-law asked me. Let's call her Nina. So last year, my husband Tom and I decided to start a small business. Very small. We resell a specific small ticket item at a small flea market. We put a lot of time and energy into this business. We drive 3 hours away to purchase these specific items to sell. We bought tables and display cases. It's legit. We wake up at 4 a.m. every week to sell at this flea market. We've enjoyed sharing our success story with our family and maybe a little bit too much. My sister-in-law has been hinting for a while that she would also like to sell this specific item at the same flea market since she knows how we have been so successful.
Wow.
I told her nicely that by doing that, she would basically be taking profits from us. She had let it go for a while, but now has gone to her mother to ask my husband, her son, if we can let her buy and sell the same items so she can make some extra money. For context, we have 3 kids and a grandchild. We're putting our oldest daughter through college, and I work part-time, and my husband runs his own business. Nina has no kids and is a teacher, and her husband is a contractor. They make decent money, probably the same income as us. I told my husband that the only thing I think would be okay is if she's going to sell the exact same item as us, but then go to another flea market to sell. She said she likes this flea market because it's so busy, but she said that she will stay on the other side away from us and she will sell them at the same price as us. I said, absolutely not. That's directly taking from our profits. Am I wrong? I don't think I am. Thanks. name. Do you think she's wrong?
Yes. The mom, I think the mother-in-law is definitely wrong. I don't see how you could do this and think it's okay. I feel like it would be one thing if she wanted to help the business, maybe help extend the business, do things to help them also get their business growing. But to become competition to them seems like that's just calculated and wrong. And I think her son needs to have a serious talk with his mother.
It sucks. And I know it must be really frustrating because you feel like, okay, she's going to just copy our entire business plan, something that we worked really hard on. And then she's just going to do the same thing without all the struggle and take away our profits. Maybe not be as successful because now you're splitting the consumer base. But I can see how you would be so enraged by that because I would feel the same way. But if there's anything I've learned from running my own quote unquote small business, which is my podcast, is that a lot of people get really excited about starting things and the potential of making of creating something that you've done. Like they see what you did and they're like, okay, I'm just going to do that same thing and have the same results. But starting a business, no matter what it is, takes so much perseverance and consistency that most people burn out. So even if she starts this and makes some money, she's probably going to realize that this wasn't actually something that she was passionate about or excited about and probably dwindle off as she realizes that she's not going to be as successful as you were originally because now y'all are splitting the same consumers.
I 100% agree with you on that. She thinks she can do this. And when she starts doing it, she's probably going to be like, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be and isn't, you know, it's going to end up dropping it. I do think that's like, if we had a crystal ball, that's probably what's going to happen. But what I don't understand, and we get this a lot, is that she's dealing with her sister-in-law, right? Why isn't your husband talking to his sister? Like, and you and your husband do this, like you and Tom decided to start a small business and you do this together. This is his family. He needs to step up. Like, I don't think like you have to be the one to put your foot down and look like the bad guy. And here's the deal. Like, you had a great idea. Forgive me, Mo, isn't there a quote or something like that when you're doing something great or you're like, you keep it to yourself because if you tell other people, then they're going to steal the joy of it or something bad can happen.
I can't remember the specific quote, but they tell you to keep blessings and things like that to yourself because everybody is not rooting for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of these instances here and you should be able to be like proud of your accomplishments and you should be able to share those and there should be people, especially family, but I think more times than not, it's not family that would be happy for you and want the best for you. But in this instance, she's seeing dollar signs in her eyes and thinks what you're doing obviously is somewhat easy and that she could do it. So have your husband tell his sister, hey, we really don't want you doing this. This is our thing. And we're proud of what we've built. If this is something you want to do, do it at a different flea market. Now, after that is said and done, whatever your sister-in-law, whatever his sister decides to do, that's what she decides to do.
Sabotage. Spray paint her whole display. Whatever we got to do.
I kind of love this.
Business.
Flea market feud. Oh. Should I do a dark side of flea markets?
Wait, yes. No, so then at that point, you can't. So then when that happens, I think my biggest piece of advice and takeaway is if that happens at that point, you can no longer concern yourself with what she is doing. Mm-hmm. You have to focus on what you're doing and you need to focus on your success. We've lived this and we've learned this. So don't focus on her and what she is doing. If that is the decision she decides to make, it's going to be infuriating and it's going to hurt your feelings. But instead, focus on making yourself successful in your business and you will thrive. And then whatever happens to hers, happens to hers. But get your husband involved, man.
Absolutely.
He's got to talk to his
sister. And don't forget to sabotage her. Don't forget that part.
Okay, and if you do, don't forget to hit us back up and tell us what you did.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie is a little bit frustrated. I think we've all been here also now. When you're online, are you talking to somebody? Is it AI? What is happening?
So I'm emailing with the CEO of a company who I have met before. And I noticed the first time he emailed, I was like, oh, okay, he's very formal. And the second time he emailed, I was like, he is 100% using AI to craft his email responses back to me. You know how you can just tell when it's AI?
Yep.
Well, sort of. I can't tell sometimes if it's AI or it's being outsourced. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the words sometimes are a little on the jiggly side. So I can't tell if it's being outsourced and somebody's trying to communicate that doesn't quite get all the words right in English, or if it's AI.
I see what you're saying, for sure. This is grammatically perfect. Like, there is nothing wonky. It's just very stiff and formal. Just crafting my fair share of belated replies and, surprisingly, the time slot you've proposed. Like, things like that where I'm like, normal humans don't talk like this, or, you know, like typical people, unless maybe you are, English is your second language and you've learned like the formal way. Like if I went to France and spoke French, they'd be like, look at this goober, because everything I learned is from a textbook and that's not how people talk.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that's not the case. And it has me feeling some kind of way. And I don't know why. I think it's because I'm like, can't you just respond as a... I don't mind outsourcing to AI for tasks. It just feels weird when you outsource the human interaction part that should be super easy. And I'm judging a little bit because I'm like, isn't this very easy to email back and forth? These are not complicated questions. Mm-hmm. It's just like, are you free to meet this time? And then I'm getting like it feels very inhuman.
They're using AI to say yes.
Or I'll be like, hey, sorry for my delayed response. And then the AI will respond to that. And I'm like, just talk to me like a human back and forth. And I feel bad because there's technically nothing wrong. This person, she's making sure that everything is written properly, like, and is, you know, the utmost professional, but it's putting me off doing business with her because I feel that I can't trust her because I'm like, is it you or is it AI that I'm talking to? And I want a human to human interaction on this part of our business. And I'm wondering if maybe I'm being too uptight and this is just the way we're just going to have AI assistants talking to each other.
I wonder if there's some small corner of the internet now where there's a hack where there's one question you can ask that would determine for sure if it was AI or not.
Well, I think she's taking my email and plugging it into AI, right? So I don't think it's like an AI bot responding. I think she's getting my emails, plugging it in because it's addressing very specific points in my email. So it feels personalized, but there's no, humans do not talk like this. I can tell. And I went back and read her other emails and I have read enough in my life and talked to enough people. I do social media. Like, I understand how humans talk in a business sense and online, and this ain't it.
At the end of the day, though, if whoever is interacting with you is getting the job done, then what difference does it make if it's AI or if it's a person?
I think that's my conundrum, but I feel lied to. Like, if you're on TikTok and you see a picture that's AI, it has a label that says AI generated. Like, I feel like you need to disclose somewhere that it's AI. I feel like I'm having conversations and I'm being duped because I'm not getting this person's actual reactions. Mm-hmm. I'm getting what a computer is. A computer thinks right. Should be the response rather than a genuine response.
You feel like it's not authentic.
Yes.
I get. And it's funny because this really is becoming a thing, because my dude was texting someone and he sent me like the draft of the text that he wanted to send this girl that he's talking to. And I was like, bro, you didn't write this. Like, it was very obvious to me that he used it and he wouldn't admit it at first. But there are certain sentences in there, like you're saying, that you're like, no human would say that in the dating world. And I completely knew he was using AI.
Kaylee wants in on this. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's so, like, for me personally, I'm not a fast typer at all. So, and I'm probably not the best with punctuation and things where, and so versus send someone like yourself, who's very intelligent and who's good with all the grammar, and make myself look less intelligent, I normally would draft something and then throw it through ChatGPT just so, you know, no one's going to pick it apart going, oh, he misspelled this or didn't put a comma there or semicolon or whatever. And so, you know, maybe that's what she's doing. But I feel like what I said normally has... It's not like, I get what you're saying. Some things are very AI sounding.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever sent me an email done through AI, but I can never tell with yours.
Well, I did once, but it was, remember, it was like written from the 1800s. Oh, and yeah, well, you were like, man,
that was
you
obvious.
Even said, you go, wow. I mean, this is crazy.
I was an idiot. I thought he actually wrote that. Okay, so AI's great at writing in the style of the 1800s. And that's how these, like, her emails are coming off. But that's a good point, Kaylee. Like, if you're using it to better yourself, then and be more professional, can I fault you for it?
Hey, Sheridan, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, thank you.
Long-time listener, love you guys. Real quick.
Thank you.
So it's super easy. There is a ton of free AI checker software online.
Ooh. Okay. Where do we find these? So
I use a certain one called Grammarly, but I'm also a student, so I kind of use it with that, but it's to maybe check papers sometimes.
Okay.
But you can just, I mean, just Google free AI checker, and there's a ton of them, and it works really well. It'll tell you if it was all done by AI or the percentage that is AI generated.
You're great. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sheridan. I just Googled one, found one. Okay. AI content detected.
Is that right?
It is AI.
You feel better about it now?
I feel good that I can tell AI from humans means it ain't perfect yet. It's not going to take over the world.
It's not. And you know what I think people, where they're making the mistake is they're putting it into ChatGPT and then they're not like adding human element to it. And you can immediately tell. It's a great tool, but you got to tweak it.
The Burt Show. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Abby can make it through the first hour of the show without throwing up. Then I think we're in the clear. Bless her little heart.
I had the most uncomfortable conversation with Jax on my way up because he was trying to give me a compliment because I'm wearing my Taylor Swift branded Tortured Poets Department matching sweatsuit. And he goes, oh, I like the sweatsuit. And I go, thanks. It's called, this was what was laying on the floor of my bedroom and therefore is on my body today. Because I physically couldn't get out of bed until 5:35 because I woke up with the most uncomfortable rumbling in my tummy from some cheese I had yesterday. Jackson was like, are you pregnant? I was like, God, I hope so. Because that means I'm getting laid. And, but instead, I think it's just some bad cheese.
Yeah. You pinpointed back to the cheese. It's the only thing it could be.
It's the only thing. Yeah. I had a lot of cheese for dinner last night. A grilled cheese, and then I had some cheese on a salad, and I had a little bit of ice cream.
Are we not going to blame it on the Taco Bell?
Could be the perfect storm.
It could be delayed Taco Bell rumbling for sure.
And it might not be bad cheese. It just might be the amount of cheese. It
might have been the amount of cheese.
You threw ice cream in there.
I love some dairy.
All the dairy
recipe for disaster.
Okay. All right. So Mo, were you being a gentleman, or is this your friend, or did they get played?
This is my cousin. And yeah, he is. That's the question. Was he being a gentleman, or did he get played in this situation? I kind of feel like it's a thin line, so I'm curious as to what y'all will think. So he was in like this awkward situation where he dated someone, but by dated, I mean like literally they went on a couple dates and then it just kind of fizzled out into nothing. But then months later, they end up running into each other at like a party. So they're like, oh, it kind of must be meant to be. Look at us running into each other after a while. So for about a couple weeks, he was trying to get her back on a date so they can figure out if they actually have something and, you know, a connection. He couldn't do it. She was sick one time, then another time something happened. So in his mind, he was about to kind of just be like, man, this ain't meant to be. So then finally he gets a call from her and she's like, what are you doing? It's a random Saturday. He's not doing anything. He's like, all right, maybe it's finally time for us to, you know, get together. Okay. So he hits her and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, I'm out and I'm with my friends. But if you want to, you can come. So he hits me and he's like, should I go? That was the first question because he didn't know whether he should look at that as that's a good sign because she's comfortable enough to be around her friends and they still want to see you. Or if it's a sign that maybe she's really not that into you because she don't want to spend one-on-one time with you and they just started dating.
I think I was so desperate when I was dating that when she said, hey, I'm going out with friends. You can meet up with us. I would have already been at the bar before she finished the sentence. I'm already here. Yeah. Hi.
I do think it's one of those you have to know the situation because it could go either way.
It could, right?
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, that kind of plays into what happened towards the end of the night. So he gets there and she's there and it's her friend and her friend's date. And it's three of them. So he shows up and they talk. He orders a drink. Now, at some point, they all order a drink. They introduce themselves to each other. And then the two friends kind of take off and go do their own thing and then leave them to do their own thing. So everything looks good so far.
Yeah.
She orders a hookah and I think she gets another drink. He didn't want anything after that. That was all they got. Great date. Great night. Done and done. So when the bill comes, he was a little confused. because he looked at the bill, and the bill was like $140. So he was like, $140? And that was before they added the gratuity and so on and so forth. So in his mind, he's like, I had one drink. She had one drink and a hookah. And then that $140 just didn't seem right. So at that point, he didn't know. He's like, this, but she didn't, there was no, like, I'm like, there was no sign of her saying, you know, I'll chip in or anything like that. Mm. She, it was clear. She was smoking a hookah, looking at him like, I know you got it. Mm-hmm. So he just paid for it. But in his mind, he's like, that just didn't feel right. So I guess they asked him if he wanted the receipt, and he said, you can email it to me. They went and they emailed it to him. So when he got the receipt back, he realized that the other couple mm-hmm. was drinking on the same tab.
Oh, no.
And then that's when he was like, that's why that explained it, because their drinks was also on the tab. But she said that they weren't. When he asked her, like, why is it $150? She said the hookah is expensive and the drink is expensive. So it was only one drink. It was the other couple that walked away and didn't have the time with them had one drink a piece, but he paid for it. And she lied about it being on the receipt.
What does a hookah normally cost? Because I've tried it a couple of times, but I don't know how to not inhale. Like, you're not supposed to, like, put that stuff into your lungs, yeah. right? I can't do it. So it's always terrible night for me. So I've only done it, like, twice. What does it cost?
I'm not a hookah person either, but I did ask for the same reason I think you're thinking. And I was told that they can range anywhere from $20 to $60, depending on the place you are. So he said he didn't feel like it was a $60 hookah place. He said he felt like it was more like a $20 hookah place. So she claimed that the hookah, but he's pretty, from looking at the receipt, she lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if I felt like it was a red flag, and I said yes. I think he was swindled.
Oh, hell yes. That's a last date.
For me, it would be.
Yeah, especially mm-hmm. because, look, here's the dance, I think, when it comes to paying for the check, at least when I was going out, and this is a while ago, is that we're going to play this dance. I'm going to pay at the end of the night. No matter what, I'm paying for the end of the night. And you might know I'm paying at the end of the night also. The dance is you have to at least offer for me to say, I got you. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, if you don't even offer, huge red flag.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt in that she didn't know how much things cost. Right. So she just thought it was him and her on the tab. But I would test her. I would hit her up and be like, hey, I got the receipt. It turns out your friends were also on the tab. Is there a way I can, like, how can I get that money back?
Mm-hmm.
And if she is, like, helpful in getting that money back, then it goes in the win column. If she is like, dude, it's just two drinks. Like, mm-hmm. what, you really want me to bug my friend about? Okay. Then I would be like, okay, we are done.
Okay.
I'm not giving her the benefit of the doubt. When I go out with someone and it's the early stages, I'm very self-conscious about the whole money thing. Like, I'm offering before the date has even started. I'm like, by the way, I have my credit card with mm-hmm. me, just so you know that I'm, like, not here to swindle you out of money. So for me, it's not even so much that she just wasn't, like, conscientious about the things that were about how much things cost. It's that she just did. It feels like a sense of entitlement to even, like, step over the line a little bit. Like, for me, I'm always doing the bare minimum. Like, I'm finding the cheapest glass of wine. I'm saying we can split things. And for me, I'm not saying that means, like, I have higher character. I think it just means that I'm so more conscientious about the fact mm-hmm. that somebody else is probably paying for me at the end of the night. So I want to play it as safe as possible until we get to a level that we know each other more.
I wonder if you can hit your dude up and do Kristen's plan and then report back to tomorrow, because I'd be interested to see. Because right now, I think it's a standard red flag right now, like one you'd see out in front of an elementary school. But if she is really crappy about it, then it becomes that car dealership red flag. You know what I'm saying?
And I just want to amend it. Don't even offer. Just be like, oh, hey, by the way, I got the receipt, and it turns out your friends were on my bill. And then just get her response, all right?
Okay.
Like, if she, she should be the one to offer. Either she pays or she gets her friend to pay.
I have a feeling I know how this is going to go, but I'll ask.
yep. So Mo sent me this story, and it is so crazy and so outrageous. I was like, you know what we should try to do? We should do our own version of Versus. And for those that may not know what the Versus battles are, and I feel like we haven't had one in, like, they don't do them anymore.
They stopped doing it once the pandemic was over, for the most part.
Okay, so but what were the Versus battles?
It was two legends in music coming together and sharing their catalogs and putting them up against each other. Every song that they've ever done or every song that they've ever written, and giving the fans an opportunity to decide which artist they believe actually had the better catalog.
All right, so Mo sent a story in, and I was like, this is bananas. I go, all right, so I'm gonna try to find an equally messed up story, and we're going to do our own version of Versus. So you will share your story. I will share mine. Abby, you will be determining who has the most jacked up story.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. And since yours was like a medical marvel abnormality, whatever you want to call it, I tried to search for something in the same vein.
Okay.
But since you found yours first, I will let you go first.
I
tell
believe
your
in you.
Crazy ass story.
But this is going to be hard to top.
Yes, it is.
All right, ladies, get ready to unlock a new fear.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine going in for a bladder stone, but it turns out that it's a calcified baby that was never birthed. Yes, this actually happened in Brazil. It was an 81-year-old lady, and they believed that the fetus had been there for 56 years, which is the last time that she was pregnant. She was indigenous, so and lived in a remote settlement, and they didn't discover this before, but she had been having a urinary infection for a while, and they went in because she thought she had some kind of severe infection, and they did a CAT scan, and they saw a calcified fetus. They operated on her and removed the fetus, and she went to ICU, but because of the infection and probably her age, unfortunately, she didn't make it.
But had a calcified fetus in her body for 56 years and had no idea.
Did they name it Cal?
No, they did not name it Cal.
They did not.
No.
Tommy, they missed the opportunity.
It's a dead baby, Tommy. It's
but the doctor
baby.
Explained that it does happen. It's an extremely rare condition called an ectopic pregnancy. But yeah, it'll start to develop somewhere outside of the womb. And you, I guess, don't even know that that's happening.
I'm shocked she survived that kind of pregnancy. That's a pretty deadly pregnancy, honestly, when that happens. So the fact that she survived that long is shocking in and of itself.
Yeah, and when you look at the, because I mean, there's, you can actually see the scans, right? And it's just, it's like a little fetus, just its bones, just calcified, just in there in the body. It is so crazy.
That is fascinating.
And terrifying. All right, so I see your calcified fetus, all right?
Uh-huh.
And I raise you a different fetus. So doctors surgically removed a fetus from a one-year-old's brain in an extremely rare medical case. So I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. But allergies, I'm going to blame it on my allergies and not the fact that I went to a state school and I'm stupid. the fetus was the child's monochorionic diamniotic twin, meaning that it came from the same fertilized egg and also shared the same placenta, but it had developed in a separate amniotic sac. During pregnancy, one fetus was enveloped by the other and died as a result, but its remnants remained in the remaining child's head even after birth.
Oh, it's sort of like one twin was going to give a hug to the other twin in the womb.
Uh-huh. And it was like actually so that the fetus was removed from the one-year-old's brain.
Your story is so advanced and have so many big words that you explained it and I still don't know what happened.
I know, right? All right, Abby, calcified baby in the womb for 56 years or fetus in a one-year-old's head?
I got to give it to Mo because yeah. I'm just picturing like this like gargoyle-looking fetus they had to scrape out of this woman's uterus. It is nauseating to me that she survived that decades of this very deadly condition. So props to her for making it that long, but sorry she passed in the end.
I'm not going to lie. I got my hair did yesterday and I was in the salon for quite some time and I searched high and low to find a story to be yours and I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it.
That's one. That's hard to top.
The Burt Show. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.